Today's daf is Erujin Daf Chaf. So today we're going to continue with the list of questions that Abaye asked Rabbah about Pasei Birotus. We began the Perek of Osim Pasim 2 days ago. We had a couple of Daf Yomi coincidences. I don't know if any come up today related to Pasach, but we went through the first four of the six shilas that Abaye asks Rabbah relating to Pasei Birotus. And yesterday's daf. Today we finished the list, the last two of the questions that Abaye is going to ask Rabba. The Gemara is then going to discuss the halacha when somebody throws an object from a Rosh Hasharabim into an area that's enclosed by the Pasei Birotus, whether that counts as throwing into a Rosh Hasharabim and he's going to be chayiv midaraisa or not. And then from the bottom of Amud Aleph through pretty much the bottom of Amud Beis, the Gemara discusses how much of the animal's body needs to be within the area surrounded by the Pasei Birotus at the time that the person gives the animal to drink. Two versions of the Gemara's Shaila and two attempted proofs to resolve the first version of the Shaila that will appear at the bottom of Amud Beis. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to have a quick note that Pasei Birotus is a special heter that we only allow for people going to be Olul Regel who need to feed their animals. And that's the nature of these very, very minimal mechitzos where we're going to allow them. So let's begin on the top of Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, where we left off yesterday. Boimine Abaye Me Rabba, this is Shaila number 5 that Abaye asked of Rabbah. Chatzar Sharosha Nichnas Lebein Hapasin Mahu Letaltal Mitocha Lebein Hapasin Umibein Hapasin Letocha. Let's say you have a chatzar who the tip of the chatzar actually enters the area between the Pasei Birotus. The Pasei Birotus have these four corner L-shaped pieces, and part of the chatzar encroaches into the area surrounded by the Pasei Birotus. So is a person allowed to carry from the chatzar to the area of the Pasei Birotus, and from the area of the Pasei Birotus to the chatzar, or not? So that's the shaila. Amrlei mutter, so Rabbah answers right away that it is mutter. Rashi explains, why is it mutter? The haleka de urin bein apasin de lisru alayhu, because there's no one that lives between the Pasei Birotus that would make it aser de lavi motzi mirishus alushus chavero, whereby it would be like carrying from one rishus to another rishus. Meaning, normally if you have two chatzeros that are right next to each other, and there's a pesach between the two chatzeros, you're not allowed to carry from one chatzer to the other unless they make an eruv between the two chatzeros to join them together. So over here also, you have two rishus. You have the Rosh Hashayachid of the Chatzar, the Rosh Hashayachid of the Pasei Birotus. So the Shaila was, can you carry from one to the other? Do we view this like two Chatzeros where you're going to need an Eruv in order to carry from one to the other? Or do we say, no, it's not like two Chatzeros at all. It's a different situation over here, and we go back to the Dinda Oraisa where you're allowed to carry from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid. So the Gemara's answer is that you do not need an Eruv because there's no one that lives in the area of Pasei Birotus. So the Pasei Birotus itself is not like a second chatzer. It's just like stama, another kind of Rosh Hashayachid, where you're allowed to carry from Rosh Hashayachid to it, and from it to a chatzer. So that's the answer of mutter. Says, okay, great. That's when you have one chatzer, one area of Pasei Birotus, and they're connected to each other. Shtayim mai. What if you have two? What does it mean? Two says Rashi. Shtayim zu etel zu umechitza beinehen ushtein roshan beina pasin. You have two chatzeros that both empty into the area of the Pasei Birotus. They both open up into the area of the Pasei Birotus. Now the two chatzeros themselves are divided by a wall, so the two chatzeros are distinct from each other. You can't say that it's like one big chatzer because they themselves are divided by a wall, but they open up again, where the tips of these chatzeros encroach into the area of the Pasei Birotus, and they open up into the area of the Pasei Birotus. So now, are you allowed to carry from these chatzeros to the Pasei Birotus or not? Is the presence of another chatzer, even though the Pasei Birotus itself is not a chatzer because there are no diurin, is the presence of another chatzer enough to make it aser to carry from the Pasei Birotus to one chatzer? So Amrlei aser. So that's where he said, Rabbi says it's going to be aser. Amar Rav Huna Shtayim Asurin Vafilu Irvu, and Rav Huna says, yeah, it's Asur even if the two Chatzeros made an Erev between themselves, meaning even if you have a situation where these two Chatzeros open up directly into each other, you have a Pesach between them, and therefore they made an Erev, and by making an Erev, what they really accomplish is that they become one big Chatzer. So really, you would think it should go back to the Din, where it's one big Chatzer, and when it's one Chatzer that opens up into the area of Pasei Birotus, we already said that's mutter. Still, it's going to be aser. Why? gzeira shemiyomru eruv mawil lebena pasin, because people might come to think that that an eruv works for the area between the pasin. So Rashi explains exactly what the concern is. If you look at Rashi, vafilu irvu derech haPesach shebemechitza shebeinehen, even if the two chatzeros made an eruv in the through the opening between them, meaning there's a direct opening between the two chatzeros, dahashta chadaninhu velo asrana adadi, now they are one big chatzer and they don't asr on each other, still asuros letalfel mitochon lebena pasin, you're still not allowed to carry from these chatzeros to the area between the pasin. People might think that an Erev is going to work between the Chatzeros and the area Bena Pasin, the Pasi Biro's area, to join the two Chatzeros together. Because anyone who sees you carrying from these Chatzeros to the area Bena Pasin, lo yadad yesh Pesach beinehen, isn't going to realize that there's a Pesach in between the two Chatzeros that opens directly from one chatzer to the other. V'savar, and he's going to think, Haidlo asna adadi b'toch ben apasin kishar shtei chatzeros apsuchos l'mavoy echad. People are going to think the reason it doesn't aser, that it's not aser to carry from these two chatzeros to the area ben apasin and then from the area ben apasin back into the other chatzer, is because they're going to think that just like it normally would be aser when two chatzeros open up into a mavoy, sha'asalo to the mavoy, where you're not allowed to carry from one chatzer into the mavoy, elim kein nishtatvu, unless you have a shitufei mavuos. Hachanami mishum denasnu eruvan beina pasin l'shatev kishituf shar mavoy. So they're going to think that what makes it mutter to carry from one chatzer to the other is the fact that you have like a shituf mavuos going on over here, where they made an eruv between the chatzer and the beina pasin area, like you would make a shituf mavuos. V'asin l'mishrinami l'hachnas l'hotzi mi beina pasin l'chatzeros. Kileka Pesach Beinehen. And then people are going to come to be Mekel to carry from the area Beina Pasin to the Chatzeros, even when the two Chatzeros don't have an opening between them, don't have something that connects them. V'avi Eruv Ba'achas HaChatzeros Derech Beina Pasin. And people are going to put an Eruv in one of the Chatzeros as a way of being able to carry, to permit carrying in the area Beina Pasin. V'uvadei Lo Mahani. And that definitely doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Why doesn't it work like a regular Shituf Mavuos? The Chitakin Rabban Shituf Mavuos B'mavui Sasum Tikun V'orcho Yosra Al Rachbo V'zemu Fulish L'arbat Stadin. Chazal were very careful about when they allow Shitufei Mavuos. A lot of qualifications have to be met. It needs to be walled on three sides. It needs to be a certain shape. It can't be a square. It has to be rectangular. The area Beina Pasin is mostly open. It's open on all four sides. It just has these little corner pieces. It's a square. It definitely doesn't fit the criteria for a Shitufei Mavuos. So to make a Shituf Mavuos in the area Beina Pasin would absolutely not work. The only reason you're allowed to carry when it's two chatzeros that open up into the area Beina Pasin is when the two chatzeros make an eruv between themselves, leaving out the area Beina Pasin. They become a single chatzer. When they become a single chatzer, so the area Beina Pasin, like a deer, and doesn't have anyone living there, isn't enough to aser to carry between the chatzer and the area Beina Pasin. But when you have two distinct chatzeros that open Beina Pasin, then it would go back to the regular din of two chatzeros that aser on each other, and you're not allowed to carry from one chatzer to the other, nor from a chatzer into the mavoy, so to speak, into the Beina Pasin area, which has the status of mavoy, and there's no way to make a shitufei mavuos. So that's why Rav Huna held that even if they do make an eruv between the two chatzeros, we're afraid people won't realize that, and people will think that it's like a shitufei mavuos, and therefore we're not going to allow any of this carrying. Rava however says, Irvu Mutter, that if they made an Erev between them, it's going to be Mutter. We make no such gezeira about what people are going to think. Meaning, once they made an Erev between the two Chatzeros become one, then it has the same din as one Chatzer that opens to an area, Beira Pasin, and that is 100% Mutter. Amalei Abayi L'Rava, Tani Dem Sayelach. So Abayi says to Rava, I have a Braisa that says just like what you said, that it's going to be Mutter if they make an Erev. Because the Braisa says, Chatzer Sharosha Echad Nichnas L'Beira Pasin, if you have a Chatzer that opens up into the Beina Pasin area, that encroaches on the Beina Pasin area, mutal l'taltal mitocha l'Beina Pasin, Beina Pasin l'tocha, you're allowed to carry from the Chatzar to the Beina Pasin, from the Beina Pasin to the Chatzar, so that everyone agreed on. Aval shtayim aser. But if you have two chatzeros open to the area ben apasin, it's going to be aser. Ba'medvar mamurim. Here's the key line that supports Rava. Shelo irvu. That's only if they didn't make an eruv. The two chatzeros didn't make an eruv between themselves. Aval irvu mutarin. But if they made an eruv between themselves, then it's going to be mutar. So you see, that's a clear brisa that supports Rava. In fact, it's such a clear brisa that supports Rava. The Ritva wonders, why did Abaye ask the shaila in the first place? Right? This was a baymina Abaye mirava. Abaye wasn't sure what the halacha is. Shtayimai. What's the din when you have two chatzeros? Here you have an explicit brisa, and Abaye knew this brisa. As soon as Rava gives an answer, Abaye said, well, Rava gave an answer, but as soon as Rava clarifies what the halacha is, Abaye says, yeah, and this brisa says just like you. So why did Abaye even raise the shaila if he knew a brisa that was as clear as could possibly be in terms of what the halacha is? So the Ritva says that Abaye wasn't sure whether this brisa was a bar samcha or not. He wasn't sure if you could rely on this brisa or not. We have brisas that are more reliable and brisas that are less reliable. The brisas of Rabbi Chiya Raboshi were more reliable, other brises were a little less reliable. So that's how the Ritva understands what Abaye was thinking. In the Masifta over here, quotes from the Givas Pinchas that says that Abaye maybe just didn't know the brisa yet. It was only later on that he heard about the brisa, and once he heard about the brisa, so then he knew. Obviously, he would not have asked the shaila had he already known about the brisa at that time. Okay, so Leimetavit Yufta Drafuna, but this brisa is so strong. Once we have it, it should be a Yiftan Rav Huna. Again, Rav Huna was one that said that even when the two chatzeros that open up into the Pasi Biros make an Eruv between themselves, that even in that case, Rav Huna had held that it's going to be usher to carry from these chatzeros to the Pasi Biros. And over here you say explicitly, the Bryce says explicitly, Irvu Mutarin, that when they do make an Eruv between themselves, it's going to be Mutar. Samalach Rav Huna, Hasam the Hadran vi Irvan. So Rav Huna says, no, the case where it's mutter, the case where we say that when it's two chatzeros and they make an eruv between themselves that it's mutter, is Hadran vi Irvan. What does that mean, Hadran vi Irvan? So Rashi explains, Shenifritza Beinei and Pirza Gedola Besofa, Shagoli Lukol Shurushos Achasi. That toward the end of these two chatzeros, toward the side where it opens up into the Pasi Biros, there's a very big breach in the wall that separates these two chatzeros. And therefore, anyone walking by will see clearly that these two chatzeros were joined together. And if you see clearly that they're going to be joined together, then there's no room for the gzera. Because what was the whole reason for the gzera is people are going to think that even when the two chatzeros are not joined together, having a shitufe mavuos working through the pasi biros area is going to suffice. Well, no one's going to think that that's the only way to join these two chatzeros. When they see this giant breach in the wall that separates the two chatzeros, they're going to realize that the two chatzeros can easily be joined together. It's not working through some type of shitufe mavuos type of mechanism. That's how Rashi explains. The Rashba has lots of kashas in Rashi. He says, first of all, the lashon of Hadran v'Irvan doesn't seem to fit so well, because how is it mashma that they were chazru v'irvu pam nosefes, that they made another mixed together again. I mean, you know, Hadran v'Irvan sounds like they made another eruv of some sort, not that there was another breach in the wall. He says, furthermore, if the gzeir was shemi yomru nishtatfu derech ben apasim, if the whole concern is people are going to think you made some sort of shitufe mavuos using the pasim area, so then what's the answer of Hadran v'Irvan? Even when Hadran and even if there was this other great breach in the wall between the two chatzeros, shouldn't we still be choshish? People might think that mavoi stam, that by a regular mavoi, that it's enough to have an eruv and that you don't need a shituf, and that's not true, because we pass like Rav Meir later on that an eruv doesn't work but makom that you need a shituf. That if you make an eruv between two chatzeros derech Pesach Shebinein, in order to carry from one to the other, it's not going to work to carry out into the Mavli unless you make Shtufim Avuos. So even if people think that now you have an Erev between them, but if people are going to confuse this for a Shtufim Avuos kind of situation, so you're right, you're going to have a problem, because when you make an Erev between two Chatzeros that open directly into each other, it does not allow you to carry into the Mavli, and over here the Mavli would be the Bein HaPasin area, the Pasi Biros area. And you are allowed to carry into that. So aren't you, shouldn't we still make a gezeira in that case? That people are going to come to be matir in a mavui without a shituf? So how does that solve any of the problems? So the Rashba quotes from the Ravid to explain a little differently. Now we're not talking about that there was a pirtza. It just means that aside from the fact that irvu bena pasim, there chazru vi irvu, derech pesach shebenehen, that is considered that it was from one chatzer. But if there's no pesach between them, they're not allowed to make an eruv derech hapasim because of the gzeir of mavui shaparit shalom merubah ala omed. Meaning they do a double eruv. They make a shitufei mavuos kind of eruv, and they have an eruv between the two chatzeres directly. And therefore, everyone's going to realize that the only reason it's mutter is because of the double eruv kind of mechanism that they have in place. The Meiri says a little different. That Hadar V'Irvin means that the entire wall between the two chatzeros was completely nifrats, and you're not left with anything, and therefore the two chatzeros are going to be mutter because it really becomes like one imamish, becomes physically like one chatzer. Okay, but let's assume like Rashi, Hadar V'Irvin. So that was Shaila number 5 that Abaye asks Rabbah. So says the Gemara, Shaila number 6. Poimine Abaye me Rabbah. Abaye asks Rabbah another Shaila. Yavshu mayim b'Shabbos mahu. What if the water dries up in Shabbos, meaning the Halacha of Pasibiros is a special heter that we have to be able to draw water from a well and feed your animals in an area that would otherwise be a Rosh HaSarabim or a Carmelist on Shabbos. What if that water dries up? So then, now, if there was no water there in the first place, you're not allowed to rely on Pasi Biros. Over here, there was water when Shabbos started, but now the water is not there anymore. So what's the halacha? Amrle, klum nas mechitza el b'shvil mayim, mayim ein kan, mechitza ein kan. He said, well, the whole purpose of the whole heter to allow such a mechitza was because of the presence of water. If there's no presence of water, then there's no mechitza, so then it doesn't work. If it dries up, it gets ruined in the middle of Shabbos. Says Tosos, but wait a second, didn't we have a concept, Shabbos hol v'hutra hutra? Abaye himself was the one that says that once something becomes mutter for Shabbos, it remains mutter. So Tosos points out, afogav da Abaye islay, even though Abaye is the one that holds Shabbos hol v'hutra hutra, moda hacha mishum delaka mechitzos. Over here he's going to be moda because there are no mechitzos. That's only when there are mechitzos that are in play. Over here you have pasi biros, which are not full mechitzos, and therefore we're not going to say hol v'hutra hutra. So that was Shaila number 6, and Shaila number 6 is answered. So says the Gemara, another Shaila relating to something changing in middle of Shabbos. So says the Gemara, Boi Rabin, Yavshu Mayim b'Shabbos, Ubo b'Shabbos, Mahu. So what if, yeah, it dried up on Shabbos, so we just said that, okay, so it's ruined if it dries up on Shabbos. But then, Bo b'Shabbos, then it rains again, and the water refills on Shabbos. So now do those Pasi Biros start becoming effective again? Do they work again now that rain came into the area on Shabbos? Amle Abaye, Yavshu b'Shabbos loti b'Yilach, when it dries up in Shabbos, so that's not Shaila. We already said if it dries up in Shabbos, it becomes Aser again. The Pasi Biros are not going to help. Bo nami lo tibayilach. So when the water returns, it also shouldn't be a shayla. Davli mechitza suyi b'Shabbos, because that's a mechitza. It's ki'ilu that you're building the pasi biros on Shabbos. It's a mechitza that came about on Shabbos. V'tanya, we know the Braisa tells us kol mechitza suyi b'Shabbos, bein b'shogi, bein b'mezid, bein b'ones, bein b'ratzon, shema mechitza. Any mechitza that's made on Shabbos, however it was made, by accident, on purpose, ones, ratzon, doesn't matter. It is a valid mechitza, and therefore the pasi biros should work again, because this works as a mechitza. So says Gemara, but wait a second. Shema mechitza, yeah, but v'lavit marala am Rav Nachman l'shon lizrok avol talta lo. What do we mean by shema mechitza? What we mean that it's called mechitza, if mechitza is made on Shabbos, is that on a d'oraisa level it counts as a reshus hayachid. So if you carry something from reshus harabim into it, you're going to be chayiv midoraisa. But that does not mean that midrabanan we're going to allow carrying within it, that we're going to say that it's Shema Mechitza to the extent that we're going to be Mekel, meaning Shema Mechitza is a Chumra, it's not a Kula. We wanted to know if the Pasi Biros surrounds a well. The well dries up on Shabbos. Good, so now you're not allowed to carry in that area. Then the well becomes wet again, it rains again, so we want to know, are you allowed to carry in the area of the Pasi Biros? So you tell me, well, Mechitzas are built on Shabbos, it counts as Mechitzos, that's L'Chumra, to tell me that if you carry from Rosh Hashanah to the area, Bein HaPasi pasin that you're going to be chayiv, but to be mekel, to allow to carry in the area of the pasin b'ros, that we never said. A mechitza that's made on Shabbos, we don't allow carrying in inside those mechitzas. So says Mar, ki itmar Rav Nachman, amazed itmar. Now, when did Rav Nachman say that it's only called a mechitza l'chumra? That's only if he did it on purpose. If he built those mechitzas on purpose, b'mezid. But if the mechitzas were put up a shogeg, or like in our case, you didn't even put them up at all, it happened by itself, it rained, and therefore the mechitzas became valid again, then we say that they count as mechitzas, not just l'chumra, they count as mechitzas l'kula as well. So at the end of the day, our Gemara says pretty clearly, any mechitza that's made on Shabbos, shogeg, mezid, onus, ratzon, is considered a mechitza for sure midah raisa, and the Gemara explains, Rav Nachman says that if you make the mechitza b'mezid, so then it's only a mechitza l'chumra, not a mechitza l'kula, meaning if you throw from Rosh Hashanah to it, you're going to be chayiv, because midah raisa it's certainly a mechitza, but to be metaltel inside of it, you're going to be, it's still going to be aser, because the Chum made a knas on such a mechitza that's made b'mezid, that you shouldn't be allowed to carry inside these mechitzas. But if the mechitza was made by itself, or if it was made b'shogeg, then it's 100% valid mechitza, you're allowed to be metaltel inside these mechitzas. So there's a fascinating tshuva that the Yehuda has in Madura Tinyana, or Chaim Sim Mem Dalin. You have a city that on Yom Tov Sheni, it was a 3-day Yantif. It was, Yantif was Thursday, Friday, going right into Shabbos. So Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios came out on Friday, and the lechi that was matir, the area to carry in, became ruined. It was became destroyed. So they're not going to be able to carry in that chatzar unless they get that lechi fixed. The only problem is, it's yantif. So normally on Erev Shabbos, no problem. Just fix the lechi in time. So the people of that city were matir to through Amir la'akum on Yom Tov Sheni to tell a guy to fix the lechi so that on Shabbos it would be mutter to be metaltel through that lechi. And the reason that they came up with this heter to tell the guy was because they figured it's a shvus to shvus l'tzorach mitzvah, that Amir la'akum is a shvus, Yom Tov Sheni is only drabanan in the first place, so it's called makom mitzvah, because the people didn't, not everyone in the city, they weren't going to be able to get word out, they weren't going to be able to send an email, it was yantif, so they weren't going to be able to get word out to everybody in the city that the lechi was ruined, that the erev was ruined, and people were going to carry on Shabbos like the normal, like they were always carried on Shabbos, because they always relied on the erev. So so that was the shaila. So now the Yehuda writes that from this shaila there are two things to take issue with. First of all, is a mutal chachil to tell the nachri to fix the lechi, and if you're going to say it's aser, so then b'diavad, what is it? Can you rely on it? Meaning, did they make the right call? Okay, that's one issue. Did they make the right call? But even if they made the wrong call, maybe now that it's done, what's done is done, and they have a lechi, so maybe you should rely on it. So now the Yehuda says, I wouldn't allow doing this on Yom Tov Sheni because it's a shvus chamur. This isn't stam a shvus to shvus. I mean, even though Yom Tov Sheni is only drabanan, Yom Tov Sheni is a little more chamor of a drabanan than every other drabanan. Yom Tov Sheni, they were dafka mesakein in such a way that it should look like Yom Tov Rishon. So we can't start cutting corners on Yom Tov Sheni. So there are a lot of things that were machmir because we simply didn't want Yom Tov Sheni to look just like Yom Tov Rishon, and people will come to be mezalzel in Yom Tov Sheni. So if we allow making a lechi al yidei a guy in Yom Tov Sheni, he says then you'd end up being allowed to build a shul al yidei a guy on Yom Tov Sheni. You'd be allowed to do a lot of things if you were to count Yom Tov Sheni as stam drabanan. So we have to treat Yom Tov Sheni as a more strict drabanan than a regular drabanan that we would be mitzarev to shvus to shvus. However, the Debuda says now that it's done and the lechi was already made on Yom Tov, vaday mutal taltal b'shabbes al yidei lechizeh. You could definitely carry because of this lechi, not only if it was made based on a horas chacham who was a shogeg in his hora'a, who Nadbida says, Lanias Daiti made a mistake in paskining this way, that you're allowed to do it, where then it's certainly mutter to be metaltel, because that's not lo gara from a mechitza that was made on Shabbos b'shogeg, where the Gemara says, in Erev and Daf Chaf, that a mechitza that's made b'Shabbos b'shogeg, you're allowed to rely on such a mechitza. So not only in that case would you be allowed to carry, but even if the lechi was made b'mezid, you're allowed to be metaltel b'Shabbos through this lechi, and he gives a logic of why that should be the case. case. And he mentions that Rav Nachman in our sugya, that the mechitza that's nasa b'shabbos, even b'mezid is shema mechitza, it's just that we're not going to allow to be mekel and tiltel because of a knas, because of this knas that we're worried about. So the Rebbe says, maybe that's only shaykh, this knas that we're worried about, that we're not going to allow tiltel in these mechitzos that are made b'mezid, maybe that's only on Shabbos itself, that they wouldn't allow carrying on that Shabbos when you violated that Shabbos to make this mechitza. But maybe to make a knas on Shabbos because of an isra that was done on Yontif, maybe the knas doesn't go that far. So even if you hold it was done b'mezid over here, maybe we're not going to go that far to aser it. So all based on this, how to understand this chumrah of Rav Nachman. So another view that has that fascinating discussion in that case of Yom Tov Sheni. Okay, so the Gemara now says Vayter Amar Blazar. If a person throws from a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin to the area Bein Pasei Abiros, or for that matter carries something from Rosh Hashanah Rabbin to the area between the Pasei Abiros, he's chayev, because he carried or threw from Rosh Hashanah Rabbin to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So he says, pshita, of course he's chayev in that case. Ilav mechitzi, yehechem ishtari le'lamalos. Obviously, we view the area between the Pasei Abiros as Rosh Hashanah Yachid Daraisa. If we didn't, you wouldn't be allowed to fill water from, you wouldn't be allowed to draw water from the well. The whole point is that the well is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and you're drawing water out of the well to the area Bein Pasei Abiros. The fact that we allow it, obviously, at the very least, it's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid Daraisa. So, of course, you're going to be chayiv if you carry from Rosh Hashanah Rabim to the area between the Pasei Abiros. So it says, Mar Lotzricha, Da Avid Ke'ein Pasei Abiros, Rosh Hashanah Rabim, Vizarek Latocha Chayiv. No, we're saying is, let's say you make four L-shaped partitions, but you don't have an actual well in the middle. So we never allow carrying inside of such an area. But still, if you carry from Rosh Hashanah Rabim to such an area, on a Daraisa level, that area is still a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And therefore, on a Daraisa level, you're going to be chayiv for carrying from Rosh Hashanah Rabim to that area. One might have thought that it's even on a Daraisa level, doesn't count as anything when you have Pasi Biraos, but no Be'er or Bar in the middle. One might have thought it doesn't do anything for you. No, it does make it Rosh Hashanah Yachid Daraisa. It's just that we're not allowed to rely on it, Midrabanan. So says the Gemara, wait a second. Hanami Pshita, Ilav to be Alma Mechitzi. Well, obviously, it's got to be a Rosh Hashanah Yachid Daraisa. Because if these don't count as mechitzos on a Daraisa level, well, then how would we allow it when there happens to be a well in the middle? The well doesn't change anything in terms of the defining what's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid and what's a Rosh Hashanah Rabim. The fact that there's a well there won't make something a mechitza or not a mechitza. It just gives the Rabbanan more of an inclination to want to be mekel and to not add a chumra. But it has to be Rosh Hashanah Yachid Daraisa in the first place in order for the Rabbanan to be Mekel. So of course it's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid Daraisa. So it says Marla Tzricha, Afgav de Kabaki Bar Rabim. Now the Chiddush over here is that there are Rabim, that the masses are able to walk through the area. That one might have thought that even though the four partitions, the four corner partitions, would make an area Rosh Hashanah Yachid Daraisa, that's only when the Rabim don't trample right through the area. But maybe the fact that Rabim trample right through the area will ruin its status as a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So what's the Chiddush? De lo asu Rabim umvatli mechitzasa. So the Chiddush is that the fact that the Rabim trample through the area is not mevatel the shem mechitza from the area. So says Maharam Rav Blazer Chadazimner. Blazer already taught that once, that people walking through an area doesn't take away its status of Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Zitznan Rav Yehuda Amirim Haisa Derek Rosh Hashanah Mafsakasan Yisal Kenelut Stadin. Rav Yehuda says that if you have a Derek Rosh Hashanah Rabim walking through Pasei Biros, you have to move the street around the Pasei Biros that it shouldn't walk right through. The Chum Omrim Eino Tzarech. Chum say, nah, you don't need to do that. The Rabbim is not going to ruin anything. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Blazer, Dami Tarvayim, Kano Diachah, Kochan Shal Mechitzos. That's how powerful Mechitzos are, that if you have something that qualifies as a Mechitza, like Pasei Biros, we don't care that Rabbim are walking right through. It's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So don't we already see that? We already taught once that Rabbim don't have the ability to ruin a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So why do I need to be taught the same same thing again. Why does he need to tell me that if you zorik? Why does Rabbi Lazar, the same Rabbi Lazar, need to tell me that when you zorik libein pasay birotus you're chayiv, even though there are ram that walk through it? Rabbi Lazar already taught this to me. So it says, "Why not? Ime hasam avamina kan velo svirulei, kamashmalan kan v'svirulei." Had we only had this Mishnah with Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar saying that kan hodiachel kochet shel mechitzos, look at the Chachamim, that look how powerful they assume mechitzos are, I would have thought that Rabbi Lazar was just commenting about the sheet of the Chachamim, but that he didn't necessarily paskin that way. That yeah, the Chachamim hold the fact that a lot of people walk through doesn't ruin the status of the mechitzos. Great, a wonderful statement about how serious the Chachamim were in their Shita, but that doesn't necessarily mean that Rabbi Lazar holds like that Shita. So that's why Rabbi Lazar has to tell me, no, if you throw from Rosh Hashanah to the area of Ben Pasin, you're going to be Chayiv, even if Rabbim walk right through it. So frankly, more the obvious, so why didn't Rabbi Lazar just make his comment over here and not make his comment over there? Over here, he's not commenting on any machloka. So if he says it, he's just saying it straight out as a halacha. So from our case, from Zorik, from Rosh Hashanah to Ben Apasin, we know that he holds this way. So why don't you just tell it to us over here and not tell it to us over there? Says Gemara, Chadu Mechal Chavir to Itmar. He really only said it in one place, and it's the Gemara applying Shitas Rabbi Lazar in the other place. I mean, Rabbi Lazar really only said this once, and we just apply Shitas Rabbi Lazar in a different context as well. So the question is, okay, great, he only said it once. Which was the once that he actually said it? So the Rashba and the Ritva say that Rabbi Lazar said his Memra about Zorik Lubein Apasim Chayiv, meaning our Memra is the real one. The Memra that we have about that he says within the Rabbanan, that was the Talmidim that said it Mechlal Devarav, that said based on Rabbi Lazar's teachings that the Kano Diachal Kochan Shel Mechitzos, that part was the Talmidim speaking up. The Marshal says the opposite though. The Rabbi Lazar says it only on the Mishnah later on that we're going to have on Daf where is it? On Daf Chav Beis. He says only on that source is where Rabbi Lazar said it. And the Gemara assumes that Bistam, when one of the Amoraim says Kan Usvirle, the Kavana is that otherwise why would he say it? Only where he has to where it's Muchach that he doesn't hold that way, we say Kan Velosvirle. So based on that Memra where Rabbi Lazar says Hodiachle Kan, we see that Svirle, that he must hold that way. So that's why the Talmidim assumed that we could apply it to our case as well, lahalacha, that Rabbi Lazar really meant it lahalacha, and that it wasn't just something that was mentioned within a sheet of the Rabbanan, it was something that he actually held lahalacha as well. Okay, let's see Vayter in the Gemara now. Two dots on the bottom. Mutar lahakrav lebe'er. So we said that you could bring the pasi b'ra'os as close into the be'er as you want, as long as you leave room for rosh of ruba, the animal, to be inside the pasi b'ra'os when you're feeding the animal. So tanana asam le'yamad adam rosh hasrabim b'yishter b'roshos hayachid. A person should not be standing in rosh hasrabim and leaning his head over and drinking in rosh hasayachid, or b'rosh hasayachid b'yishter b'rosh hasrabim, standing in rosh hasayachid and leaning over and drinking in a rosh hasrabim. Eliim Kain Machnas Rosh of Ruba Lamakam Shushosa, unless he has Rosh of Ruba in the area that he's drinking. Because obviously we're gonna be concerned, as Rashi points out, the Cheshin and Shami Yamashik Kufa, Lamakam Raglov, the Yotzia Kliimo, that he's gonna take the rest of his body out to wherever his legs are. If he's just leaning his head over into the other Rishus and his legs and the majority of his body are in a different Rishus, so we're afraid that he's gonna stand up straight and he's gonna end up carrying the glass of water that he's drinking in that's in the Rishus Rabbim into the Rishus Yachid where he's standing, or vice versa. So that's why we don't allow this. Very similar to the Sugya Masechta Sukkah, where we don't allow, or Beishame doesn't allow a person to be sitting Rosh of Ruba B'Sukkaso B'Shulchan B'Sukkah Habayis, where he's eating in off a table in the house when his body is in the Sukkah, because we're afraid that he's going to Shami Mashaych Achar Shulchano. Over there it's the opposite. Not that we're afraid he's going to bring the food out into the Sukkah, because Adaraba, good, bring the food out into the Sukkah. That would be wonderful. That's what you're supposed to do. Over there the concern is Shami Mashaych that we're afraid you're going to end up where your table is. So the concern could go in both directions. Okay, v'chein begas, and the same is true by a wine press. So that's going to, the Gemara is going to explain that this is in regards to Hilchos Maestros, that once you remove the wine from the wine press, so now it's kavas, it has a chiv and maestros already. But when you're still drinking over the gas, that's called a shtias arai. That's called just a snack, and you're allowed to snack before the things, before you have to be mafresh shumas amaisos. So when you're leaning over the gas, you have to make sure that you have rosha verubo leaning over the gas. Otherwise, we're worried that you're going to remove it from the area of the press, and then it's going to be chayv in shumas amaisos, and it's because it's not going to be considered a snack anymore, and therefore it's going to be a problem. So v'chein begas. So gabe adam ha'amar debay rosha verubo. Says the Gemara. So what do we see from here? When you're dealing with a person, you need rosha verubo. You need the rosha verubo of the person in the area that he is drinking. Gabe para, mi bin la rosha verubo lo. Do we need the same thing by a para? Mishnah does not allow a person to stand one rishos, lean his head to drink in another rishos unless you have rosha verubo. So the first version of the question is, what about an animal drinking in a closed area by pasuk biros? Do you need rosha verubo? So the Gemara is going to go into more detail in terms of what exactly the shaila is, and we're going to have two versions of what exactly the shaila is. So kol hecha de kanakit mana velo nakit la. When you're holding, the person is holding the kli, but he's not actually holding the animal. Lo tibay lach tibay rosh v'ruba milgav. Then there's no shaila. For sure, you need the rosh v'ruba of the animal to be inside the partitioned area, inside the pasi biros. You're not holding the animal down, so you're holding the kli, and the animal may turn its head, and what are you going to do when the animal turns its head and you're trying to give a drink? You're going to move the bucket to wherever the animal's turning its head, and then you can end up carrying to wherever the... So if the animal's not very firmly inside the pasi biros, you're afraid the animal may turn outside the pasi biros, and then you'll turn outside the pasi biros and bring the bucket out to the animal. My. The shaila is when the person is holding the bucket and holding the animal. Then what's the din? So if the person is holding the bucket of water to give the animal a drink with one hand and is holding the animal's head straight with the other, so then does the animal have to be mostly in the Rosh Hashanah, or do we assume that the fact that you're holding the animal in place is enough that you're not worried that the animal is going to be able to turn its head and then you're going to end up carrying the bucket to wherever the animal is? So Amalei Tanisua. So he said, let's bring a raya. Our Mishnah says that the animal has to be Rosh HaVeruba in the Rosh HaSiachid. The Mishnah says explicitly that it needs to be Rosh HaVeruba in the Rosh HaSiachid. So isn't that a Raya? My love, the Nakad love, Nakad Mana. Isn't this talking about a case where you're holding the animal, you're holding the Kli, and still you need Rosh HaVeruba of the animal inside the partitions? So isn't this a good Raya? Says Marlo, the Nakad Mana, Velo Nakad La. Maybe our Mishnah is talking about where you're hanging on to the bucket, but you're not holding the animal. And we said in that case, there was no Shaila. When you're holding the bucket, not the animal, of course you need the animal to be Rosh HaVeruba in the partitions in that case, because otherwise you can end up bringing the bucket out to where the animal is. V'chinakin manav lo nakit la mishari. But wait a second. If you're holding the kli, you're holding the bucket, and you're not holding the animal, is it takum mutter in that case? V'atanya, don't we have a b'risa lo yimali adam mayim v'yitin b'shabes lefnei behemto, that a person cannot fill up water and put it in front of his animal on Shabbos. Avol malihu v'shofech v'yishosameyaleh. What a person is allowed to do is he's allowed to pour it into a trough and let the animal drink on its own. So ha'itmar Allah, Amar Abayi, hacha be'evos ha'omid b'rishos ram gavoa yutfachim v'roch of dalid. No, over there we're talking about an evos that's in the trough, that's in the rishos rabim. It's 10 tfachim tall, it's 4 tfachim wide, v'rosho echad nichnas l'bein ha'pasin. And one end of the trough goes to the area, extends into the area between the pasi b'ros. G'zera dil mechazi le'le evos, de mekalkel vasilit kunei. Over there we're concerned that the evos you may see that the avos is ruined in some way, and you're going to try to fix it. And then you can end up, when you go around to fix it, you can end up schlepping the bucket toward that area, and then you can end up carrying directly from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, because you're going to be in the pasi biros. You can carry outside of the pasi biros to be able to fix the avos, which extends into an area that's surrounded by Rosh Hashanah, and you're going to come to try to fix it in the Rosh Hashanah, still holding the bucket in your hand. That's the concern in that case. So says Gemara, but wait a second. And what would be the big problem? If you're standing in Rosh Hashanah and you're holding a bucket that you never intended to bring into the Rosh Hashanah, and then by accident, then you notice that there was a problem in the Rosh Hashanah, and you forgot that you're holding the bucket in your hand, so you go and you carry the bucket out to the Rosh Hashanah, are you chayef rotzah in that case? When you picked up the bucket, were you planning on bringing it to the Rosh Hashanah? You didn't do an akira with the plans of bringing it to Rosh Hashanah, so it wouldn't even be a problem. If you're just moving things around in your house from one corner to the other, and then you change your mind and you decided to bring it outside, Potter! So you're Potter because you never did the Akira with the intention of moving it to the different Rishos. So you're going to be Potter in that case. So what are we being gozer over here? What's the issue that you're going to carry the bucket out? Now, the problem is you're going to carry it outside, you're going to fix whatever you need, and then you're going to bring the bucket back inside. And then it's going to be working in the reverse. So again, what happened over here? The Gemara wanted to know, if the person's holding the bucket of water to give the animal drink with one hand, and he's holding the animal's head straight with the other hand, does the animal need to be Rosh HaVeruba Rosh HaSiachet? So we said, yeah, we have a Rai from a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Beferish need Rosh HaVeruba in the Rosh HaSiachet. It says, Bilvad Shetei apart Rosh HaVeruba mi Bifnim, Mishosa. So the Gemara said, no, that might be a case where you're not holding the animal at all. You're only holding the bucket. The Braisa, which says that you're not allowed to feed an animal if you're not holding it, was talking about a totally different case. Maybe the braisa that says that if you're not holding the animal, you're not allowed to feed the animal at all, that's where you have a trough that's so large that it's it makes up its own independent Rosh HaSayachid. It's 10 tvachim tall, it's 4 by 4 tvachim wide, and it encroaches on an area between the Pasi Biros on one end, so it's inside the Pasi Biros on one end. The animal's standing in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on the other end of that trough, and we're afraid that you might come to fix the trough, and you're going to end up therefore carrying the bucket out, which is not a problem, but then carrying the bucket back in, which is a problem. So we only allow pouring into the trough, but not to directly feed the animal, because we're concerned that you can carry the bucket into the Rosh Hashanah, put it down, fix the trough, and then bring the bucket back into the Rosh HaSayachid. That was all one version of the Shaila. Second version of the Shaila is as follows. Ikeda Amri, Gabe Adam. So again, going back, we said a person is not allowed to lean over from Rosh HaSayachid to Rosh HaSayachid and drink, or from Rosh HaSayachid to Rosh HaSayachid and drink, unless he has Rosh HaVerubo in the area that he's drinking. So the Shaila goes like this. Gabe Adam HaKamrin the Sagileb Rosh HaVerubo. By a person having Rosh HaVerubo is good enough. Now the shaila is different. Where the person is holding the bucket, we'll see in a second what he's holding exactly, but the shaila is it enough to have Rosh HaVeruba of the animal inside the Pasi Biros? Or do you need even more than Rosh HaVeruba? If you're holding the bucket and you're holding the animal, so then of course it's enough to have Rosh HaVeruba of the animal inside the Pasi Biros. The shaila is if you're holding the bucket but you're not holding the animal, and you only have Rosh HaVeruba but not the entire animal in the Pasi Biros area, is that good enough? So now again, the same Shakla V'Tarya. Amalei Tanisua, it says Beferish of the Mishnah, part of Rosh HaVeruba Mifnim V'Shosa, that your Rosh HaVeruba is good enough, it says in our Mishnah. So my love, the Nakan Man of Lo Nakan La, isn't that talking about a case where you're holding the bucket, you're not holding the animal, and you see Rosh HaVeruba works? It says, Lo, the Nakan Man of the Nakan La. No, the case is where you're holding the bucket and the animal. That's why Rosh HaVeruba works. And you have to say that, because if you're only holding the animal, the bucket, and you're not holding the animal, would it even be mutter? The Braisa says that you're not allowed to feed an animal directly. You have to pour it into the trough and let the animal drink on its own. No, the case where you're not allowed to feed the animal directly and you have to pour it into the trough was dealing where the trough is so large that it counts as its own separate Rosh HaSayachid, and it extends from the area Bein HaPasin into Rosh HaSayachid, and the animal standing in the Rosh HaSayachid drinking out of it. We're afraid that you might see that the trough is broken and you can come to fix it, and you can carry the bucket out to it, and that's going to be carrying from Rosh HaSayachid to Rosh HaSayachid. So we say Big deal if you carry the bucket out, it's no problem anyway, because when you did the Akira, you weren't planning on carrying it out. No, the problem is that you're going to carry it back in, like we said before. So that's the second version. So now we're going to have two attempted proofs to answer the first version of the question, whether an animal that's held can be given to drink even when most of its body is not in the enclosed area. When you don't have Rosh of Ruba, can you give it to drink? So Tashma, Gamal Sharosh of Ruba Mifnim, Ovsin Osami Bifnim, that if you have a Gamal that Rosh of Ruba is inside the area, inside the enclosed area, you're allowed to stuff food down its mouth, Mi Bifnim. The Yivus commanded Nakan Man of a Nakad La Danya. When you're stuffing food down its mouth, that's the same as holding the animal and holding the bucket and giving it to eat. And still the Kabayin on Rosh of Ruba, even though you're holding the animal and the bucket, we still require Rosh of Ruba. Some Ravach Rafuna Roshesh, a shiny Gamal, hold the Tzavaru Aruch. You ever see a camel? A camel's a little different than a cow. A cow turns its neck moves a little bit. A camel turns its neck, it's 10 feet away. The camel has a very long neck. So that over there, of course you're going to need Rosh of Ruba inside. There's a much larger concern because of the long neck that it's going to go outside. One more Raya. Tashma, Behemah Sharosh of Ruba Bifnim, Ovsino Sabim Bifnim. Ve'evus command the Nakan Mad of a Nakan Dava, Kabinin Rosh of Ruba. Over here you're talking about a Behemah, it doesn't say a camel. And still you need Rosh of Ruba Bifnim when you're stuffing it with food, which is the same thing as holding a bucket and holding the animal. So mine Behemah Nami, the Katani Gamal. It doesn't mean any animal, it means a Gamal. Vatanya Behemah, Vatanya Gamal. But we have two brises. One said Gamal explicitly, the other said Behemah. Doesn't that tell you that Behemah doesn't mean Gamal? So Midigabi Adadi Tanya. These two brises were never said together. They were said separately. Tanya Namayaka, Reb Lazar, Oser B'Gamal, Hol V'Tzavaru Aruch. The Reb Lazar asks with a Gamal because it has a very long neck. So by Gamal, you're going to need Rosh of Veruba. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Amar Rav Yitzchak tomorrow.